We're going to read this morning from Galatians chapter 6 and verses 11 through to 18, the final section of Galatians this morning. And this the first section above verse 11 says, "Glory only in the cross," which is the reason we have chosen the hymns we have for, or I've chosen the hymns we have for this morning. In verse 11, Paul says, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." So let's turn to those verses that we read in Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through to 18 on page 1037 in our church Bibles. In verse 11 of that chapter, we have a reminder that the Apostle Paul often dictated his letters and someone else wrote them down. And he would then add a final paragraph or two himself at the end. And he tells us all about that in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 17. When we come to Galatians 6 and 11, he's clearly doing the writing himself. And he says, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." Those words have aroused quite a lot of interest. Some see them as an indication that his thorn in the flesh that he speaks about was a problem with his eyesight. And as a result, he was writing rather large. And that could well be the truth. However, it could also mean with such bold letters. He's put a bit more ink on his pen and he's writing with bold letters. And one commentator says that this could be the meaning as he fires a final salvo to the Galatian Christians. That salvo included an accusation in verse 12 that the Judaizers, who were urging the Galatian Christians to accept circumcision, were doing so out of cowardice and for very selfish reasons. Not simply because they were zealous to see Gentile Christians identifying with Jewish people, but also to avoid being ostracized and persecuted themselves for the sake of the cross. The salvo continued in verse 13, where Paul accuses them of wanting the Galatians circumcised so that they could boast about how effective they had been in spreading their message and influencing them to follow Jewish practices. But Paul reminded them in verse 13 that while they were keen to promote one aspect of the law, they had completely ignored others. And I thought, that's a trap that we Christians can so easily fall into, isn't it? We can, for instance, try to measure another person's walk with the Lord by something they do or do not do, but ignore other matters ourselves. We might, for instance, and perhaps it's a little bit less today than at other times, but we might be tempted to criticize someone for their excessive drinking, but quite happily indulge in overeating. But most worrying of all, these people's insistence that the Galatians, in addition to trusting in Christ, must also accept Jewish practices and feasts to be accepted as the people of God, meant, as we saw right at the beginning, that they were not simply adding to the gospel, but preaching another gospel. And Paul insists that the genuine gospel that we preach as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel that people need to hear that they might discover Christ for themselves, is based on faith alone, in Christ alone, in Christ Jesus, who was crucified on the cross for sinful men and women and young people everywhere. And so in verse 14, Paul urges the Galatians to refocus on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which they had been reconciled to God, and perhaps taking them back to the Lord Jesus, who urged his disciples to take up their cross daily and to identify with Jesus Christ crucified, and to step out following the crucified Christ. And as they do so, to experience what we read in Galatians 2 and verse 20, that I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And as we see in verse 14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Did you notice that in Isaac Watts' hymn? His dying crimson, like a robe, spread all his body on the tree. Then am I dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. Haven't got there yet, have you? But that's to be our ambition in the Lord Jesus. Reminds me of an old chorus that I think we sometimes sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And as we stand firm for Christ, we will find from time to time that the world will stand against us and crucify us. Now, what I want to do this morning is to focus particularly on the cross. That's what Paul says we should do. glory in the cross. And I want to ask this morning, do we glory in the cross of Christ? But you might ask how anyone could glory in the cross of Christ, for it was such a cruel cross. And if we don't have a full understanding of the cross, that will appear to be just a very cruel thing to do. The cross was a very cruel thing. No Roman citizen would ever be put to death by crucifying them on a cross. Crucifixion was, in the terms of the day, it was for the vulgar. It was for the low classes. It was for the slaves. It was for those who had committed the most heinous of crimes. And yet, on the first Good Friday, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was treated as a low class criminal and crucified. In the lead up to the crucifixion, he was mocked, he was beaten and crowned with a crown of thorns. And then, having been so brutally treated, he was given a wooden cross to carry through the mocking crowds to the place of execution. And as he tried to carry that cross, he stumbled. And Simon of Cyrene was summoned from the crowd to carry that cross for him. And then, at the place of execution at Golgotha, he would have been stripped naked, his hands nailed to the cross beam, and then the cross with Jesus hanging on it was hoisted up and dropped into its socket. Can you imagine the pain of that jolt when that cross went into that socket? And there Jesus hung amongst two villains, suffering physically, suffering mentally, as he looked out and saw his mother in the crowd, suffering spiritually as he bore our sin until he died. What a cruel cross it was. And yet Paul says, we glory in the cross. And we can glory in the cross because, amazingly, that was the way the Lord Jesus Christ chose to die. Yes, those who plotted to arrest him, those who manipulated the judicial system and persuaded the crowd to call for him to be crucified, thought it was their decision. But it wasn't. Behind the scene, God was at work, working out his purpose. As the Apostle Peter said after the crucifixion, men of Israel, listen to this. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death, nailing him to the cross. Nor was it done without cooperation by the Lord Jesus, for he freely accepted that role and said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Peter was horrified. He wanted to intervene. He wanted to stop that going ahead. And in Matthew 26, the Lord Jesus says, Matthew 26, verses 52 through to 54. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen this way?" Jesus was committed to the cross. And although the prospect was horrifying, because there was no other way for the scriptures to be fulfilled, and God's great plan of saving men and women and young people accomplished, Jesus chose to die on the cross for his people. Paul could glory in the cross because Jesus chose that way. But he could also glory in the cross because in this amazing act, he made the supreme sacrifice. For on the cross, he changed places with his people. He changed places with his people. Sometimes, in a football team, there will be someone who's called a super sub. It's someone who comes in later in the game, who just adds additional pace and a new dimension to the game. And there used to be one who played for Liverpool who used to come on week after week after week in place of another player and score some fantastic goals. What a super sub we have in Jesus. He is our supreme substitute. He takes our place. As Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend." And the Apostle Paul, looking back to the cross, said, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. He was my substitute." I wonder if when you were in Sunday school, you used to sing a hymn. It was in Sankey's hymn book in my church in Sunday school. It went like this. It began, "Jesus who lived above the sky." And then there was a verse that says, "He knew how wicked men had been. He knew that God must punish sin. So out of pity, Jesus said, he'd bear the punishment instead." Or perhaps today you love the hymn, "How Great Thou Art," that includes those words, "And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin." I can glory in the cross because he changed places with his people. He changed places with me. The Bible teaches us that because he loved us, because there was no other way by which we could be reconciled to God and receive his supreme gift of eternal life, our Lord Jesus gladly and freely died on the cross in our place. And how will we respond to this amazing act of grace? May we do so as he encourages us, by repenting of our sin and trusting him alone as our Saviour. We can glory in the cross too, Because by the cross, the conquest of the Lord Jesus was complete. The Lord Jesus set out to do what he came to do. How many people at the end of a day can say, it is finished, I've done everything I set out to do today? Or at the end of a week? But Jesus could say, it is finished. He came to engage in a battle with Satan, sin, and hell, and he achieved his goal. Satan and his army had, as it were, invaded and taken mankind captive so that we sin against God in our thoughts and our words and our deeds and come under God's condemnation. But whereas we fell captive to him, our Lord Jesus Christ triumphed over him. He was tempted, just as we are, but without sin. He cast out evil spirits. And most significantly, on the cross, as we find in one of my favorite scriptures that I've quoted here many times, I guess, before, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And it's talking about the cross in verse 14. For through the cross, he triumphed. He triumphed over sin and death and hell. No longer can we be accused of sin if we are trusting in Christ. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when Satan accuses, he tempts me to despair, I can look to Christ and know that he has dealt with my sin problem. And if we are trusting in Christ this morning, we have been liberated. We have been freed from Satan's captivity. We are free from the consequences of our sin, free to be the children of God and enjoy him forever. Why? We can glory in the cross, can't we? As Paul tells us this morning. And there's a fifth reason, and that is because the cross of Jesus is crucial. The cross of Jesus is crucial. It is the only way by which we may be saved. I cannot appear at the gates of heaven with a list of credits and say, I deserve to be let in. I can't appear at the gates of heaven with my checkbook and attempt to bribe myself in. I have nothing to offer in and of myself. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peter says salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It's absolutely crucial, isn't it? The cross of Jesus. And also as a result of this sacrifice, we can be forgiven our sin and enjoy peace with God and eternal life. We can glory in the cross. And this is the good news that the Lord Jesus wants us to take into all the world and to all generations. That's why he gave a great commission. And that's why in the book of Acts and in chapter 2 and verses 38 and following, Paul says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And so let us respond to the cross and accept his invitation to repent of our sin and to trust him. And that will in turn lead, as we see in Galatians and chapter 6 this morning, that will lead to a new creation, verse 15. That will lead to a new creation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone's glorying in the cross, if anybody's come under the shadow of the cross, they will be a new creation. The mark of a Christian should not be circumcision, but a new creation. The exciting thing is, although we cannot change our human nature, God can. Paul expected God to bring about such a notable change in our lives as his disciples, that it would be as if we had been made all over anew. In Romans 11, Paul describes a Christian as having been grafted into Christ. I was introduced to grafting very early in my life because my dad had an orchard that had been set out by an uncle of mine who was a professional gardener. And then when I married Janet, one of the first things I found my prospective father-in-law doing was grafting an apple onto an apple as stock. And is that your experience? If you are in Christ, it will be as if you have been grafted into Christ. And you will draw on all the resources that he has provided for us to be the new person he wants us to be. Just as that grafted stock draws all its resources from the root stock, so we draw our resources from Christ to be that new person he wants us to be. It begins with the cross. But other resources that he gives to us are the Holy Spirit, who works in us to transform us. And among the things he do, as we saw last week, is to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. He gives us the Bible. The Holy Spirit speaks to us using the Bible. Not only is he its author, but he gives us teachers to instruct us and come alongside us and help us. And he himself does that, helping us to understand and apply this wonderful book to our lives. He gives us the example of Jesus. As Peter says, he has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. He has given to us our fellow Christians. Yes, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through our fellow Christians. Pastors, teachers, leaders, counselors, and especially through the love and care and example of family members, both natural members and our church family, who influence us for his glory. Are we in Christ becoming a new creation? In some, the evidence of a person being in Christ can be seen straight away. I have a sister-in-law, and just to talk to her, it's just like talking to someone who knew and walked with Jesus very closely, day by day. Others, it's a more gentle progression. But the fact is that being in Christ and drawing on all the resources he makes available to us will bring about a change, because if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they will be a new creation. Do we have a new relationship with him? Do we have a new relationship with him? I once feared God in the sense of standing in dread of him. I fear God in awe of him now. I find grace when I fall. What a new relationship that is. Are you, as the Holy Spirit works in your life, developing the character of the Lord Jesus? Yes, we may have a long way to go, but are we moving forward in him? Do we have a new attitude? We want him glorified. And when the old one surfaces, as it frequently do, is it challenged by the new? Do you have a new outlook, a sense of purpose, new principles, new direction? Do you have a glorious hope that one day we will be present with the Lord? Do we have his help to resist and overcome evil and to persevere in following him day by day? Praise God, we can read that he who has begun a good work in us will carry it on to completion. And so Paul brings this letter to a conclusion by reminding us to glory in the cross and to come to the crucified Saviour and trust him and follow him. But to go on in him and to become a new creature in him. And this way, he tells us in verse 16, is a way of peace and a way of mercy. Especially peace with God and mercy both in this life and the one to come. And then he says, verse 17, in what appears to be a very strange interruption, from now on let no one trouble me. I like that. From now on let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He pleads with these people to trouble him no more on this subject of circumcision. His own circumcision has paled in significance in comparison with the marks he now bears in his body as a result of his devotion to the Lord Jesus and his courageous following of him. As a slave in the Roman world was usually tattooed as a sign of belonging to his master, so Paul now looks at his marks of persecution as true marks of him being identified with the crucified Lord Jesus. And so finally, in verse 18, he writes his benediction. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And may we know that grace. as we trust and follow the Lord Jesus and grow more like him day by day. Amen.